NASA's new leadership gets Senate confirmation. A design feature worked on a depressurized 737. And a federal limit on tarmac strandings may finally happen. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 17, 2009. Charles Frank Bolden Jr. has been confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the 12th Administrator of NASA and Lori Beth Garver as Deputy Administrator. Bolden called his nomination and confirmation an honor and immediately challenged both the administration and Congress. Quote, "Today we have to choose. Either we can invest in building on our hard-earned world technological leadership, or we can abandon this commitment, ceding it to other nations who are working diligently to push the frontiers of space," unquote. This is Bolden's second stint with NASA. His 34-year career with the Marine Corps included 14 years as a member of NASA's astronaut office. He flew on four shuttle missions between 1986 and 94, commanding two of them. His flights included deployment of the Hubble Space Telescope and the first joint U.S.-Russian shuttle mission, which featured a cosmonaut as a member of his crew. Garver is also a second-timer. Quote, "My previous 5 years at NASA exposed me to the incredible talent of the workforce there. The unbelievable achievements of this team over its 50-year history are unmatched. I look forward to working with Charlie and the NASA team to make our agency work as effectively as it can for the American people," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board remarks that a Southwest Airlines Boeing 737 that depressurized after a hole developed in its roof on Monday was designed to limit damage in such an accident. Spokesman Peter Knudsen told USA Today that federal regulations require jets to be able to experience a tear in the fuselage without the damage spreading. Quote, "This safety feature performed as designed," unquote. The flight originated in Nashville, Tennessee, bound for Baltimore, Maryland. About 30 minutes into the flight, passengers reported a loud pop and oxygen masks dropped from their compartments above the seats. The pilot made an emergency landing in West Virginia. One overly enthusiastic witness told media the plane's entire roof was ripped away. NTSB investigators say the hole actually measured about 14 by 17 inches. The incident plane entered service in 1994. Southwest says it found no other similar issues in a fleet-wide inspection. FlyersRights.org is hailing a version of FAA reauthorization, which has cleared the U.S. Senate's Commerce Committee and includes a provision which would force airlines to provide humane conditions to passengers in tarmac strandings, and would also require they be allowed to deplane after sitting for 3 hours. The Senate bill differs from the House version, which would allow airlines to set the time period. The two bills will head to reconciliation to produce a final version. Kate Hanai, who founded and leads the Flyers' Rights Coalition, commented, quote, "It looks to our coalition as though this was a bipartisan group effort. We're so pleased that this committee is able to work together and focus on the interests of the flying public," unquote. Up next on ANN, NIMBYs fight a city government to stop a new airport. Boeing celebrates a multinational C-17 delivery. And Aviation Maintenance Magazine ends its run as a print publication. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 17th. I'm Paul Plack. There's an airport NIMBY battle heating up in Tennessee, and this time a city government is on the airport side. The Cleveland, Tennessee City Council has voted to move forward with construction of a new airport on 311 acres it purchased outside the city limits. Nearby residents say they will fight what they call a loss of property rights in the 24,000 acres surrounding the airport site. They complain the allowable height of buildings and use of solar panels will be restricted and noise will increase, all without compensation. Proponents of the new airport tell WDEF-TV News that a modern replacement is needed for Hardwick Field in Bradley County, which has a 3,300-foot runway. Nine agencies are involved in the project. In the culmination of many years of collaboration on the part of a dozen nations, Boeing has delivered the first strategic airlift capability C-17 Globemaster III during a ceremony at its final assembly facility in Long Beach, California. The advanced airlifter's historic arrival at Papa Air Base, Hungary, is set for later this month. The SAC's approach to shared use of the strategic airlifter is regarded as a model for the pooled acquisition and management of defense capabilities. Gunnar Borch, who serves as general manager of NAMA, the NATO Airlift Management Agency, commented, quote, "This historic partnership shows how much can be accomplished when nations work together to achieve a common goal," unquote. NAMA is responsible for the acquisition, day-to-day management, and support of the C-17 fleet on behalf of NATO and all participating SAC nations. Boeing will deliver two more C-17s in September and October. If you're hearing this, chances are you now get much of your industry information electronically, so this may not be surprising news. Access Intelligence, the company that publishes Aviation Maintenance Magazine, is moving its entire operation online. One journalist and one salesperson will have to find new jobs. CEO Don Pazur tells the trade publication Folio the magazine was unable to continue in print. Quote, "With staff leaving Cygnus to launch a competitive title to their maintenance title and McGraw-Hill in this market, it simply has become overpublished in print," unquote. Staff members with expertise in the maintenance field will be retrained to continue the publication online as part of Aviation Today. The August issue will be the last one in print. Still ahead, predictions the airline slump was ending have proven premature. Despite red ink, American will keep buying new 737s. And here's a salesman who knows his product. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Echoing recent predictions from industry analysts and countering its own earlier rosier outlooks, the International Air Transport Association warns that its May data suggests the airline industry is still in decline. The association tells Dow Jones its 230 global member airlines, which account for 93% of scheduled international air traffic, said the stabilization it reported earlier now appears to be a small rise in the average distance flown and the geographical pattern of changing travel markets, not a stabilization of passenger numbers. Specifically, passengers traveling on premium tickets in May were down 23.6% compared with last year. April was down 22%, and the number of passengers traveling in first or business class has now fallen in 12 consecutive months. The only bright spots appear to be signs of growth in international flights between nations in Africa and domestic travel in China. Despite a second quarter loss of $390 million announced on Wednesday, American Airlines is planning to take delivery of all 84 of the Boeing 737s it has on order through 2011. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports American CEO Gerard Arpey says the company has been able to raise $520 million in the second quarter, which combined with previous commitments allows it to continue modernizing its fleet to save fuel. A company statement explains, quote, "The new 737-800 burns about 35% less fuel per seat mile than the MD-80 it's replacing, an average savings of 800,000 gallons of fuel per aircraft per year," unquote. In a sort of backdoor compliment, that $390 million second quarter loss was not as bad as analysts had expected. And finally, here's a parachute salesman whose pitch you can believe. A Polaris FK-14 flying at about 2,400 feet in southern France was being put through some stall and maneuvering practice when it entered what the pilot determined was an unrecoverable spin. After five or six turns, with the ground rising rapidly, the pilot deployed the airframe parachute installed on the aircraft. The chute righted the nose-down attitude of the plane and set it down with its two occupants in a French cornfield. While the Polaris sustained substantial damage to the wings, landing gear, and fuselage, the occupants walked away. The passenger was Christophe Briand, who is a pilot but also a dealer for BRS, Ballistic Recovery Systems, the company that makes the parachute. Quote, "Now I truly understand just how important this product is to my customers," unquote. BRS CEO Larry Williams remarked, quote, "We are so pleased that Christoph will now be around to testify to the quality and efficacy of our products from a personal use viewpoint," unquote. BRS has delivered more than 30,000 systems worldwide and claims 236 lives saved. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Larry Wood, Director of Education of the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum in Oregon, about how this amazing facility came to be and how they got the Spruce Goose. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.